yes, first of all, today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, Verse 7. Yeah, excuse me. Niratasya tapa samadhi vidyatma yoga vijita bhagavat prasada ta eva te man anusevanaya Prapashya Vitarame Abhaya Ashoka Yene Swadharma Nirata. Yene Swadharma Nirata Svetapasama.
Dushyam Prabhasta Vidharam Vyam Ashwam.
Swadharma.
Own religious life.
Nirantasya. Fully occupied with. Tapa. In austerity. Samadhi. In meditation. Vidya. In Krishna consciousness. Atma yoga. By fixing the mind. Vijita. Achieved. Bhagavat prasada. The blessings of the Lord. Ta. Then. Eva. Even. Te. By you. But. To me. Anusevanaya. By devoted service. Avarudha. Obtained. Drishyam. Transcendental vision. Prapashya. Just see. Vitarami. I am giving. Abhaya. Which are free from fear. Ashoka. Which are free from lamentation. Translation. Kardama Bhumi continued. I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not yet experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you, because you are engaged in my service. Now, just look at them. I am giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. Hare Krishna. Interesting. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devadatta engaged only in the service of Kardama Muni. She was not supposed to be so advanced in austerity, ecstasy, meditation, or Krishna consciousness, but imperceptibly she was sharing her husband's achievements, which she could neither see nor experience. Automatically, she achieved these graces of the Lord. What are the graces of the Lord? It is stated here that the graces of the Lord are abhaya, free from fearfulness. In the material world, if someone accumulates $1 million, he is always full of fear, because he's always thinking, what if the money is lost? But the benediction of the Lord, Bhagavat Prasada, is never to be lost. It is simply to be enjoyed. There is no question of loss. One simply gains and enjoys gaining. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this. When one achieves the grace of the Lord, the result is sarva dukkhani. All distresses are destroyed. When situated in the transcendental position, one is free from the two kinds of material diseases, hankering and lamentation. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita. After devotional life begins, we can achieve the full result of love of Godhead. Love of Krishna is the highest perfection of Bhagavat Prasada, or divine mercy. This transcendental achievement is so greatly valuable that no material happiness can compare to it. Prabodhananda Saraswati said that if one achieves the grace of Lord Chaitanya, he becomes so great that he does not care a thing, even for the demigods. He thinks of monism as hellish, and for him, the perfection of controlling the senses is as easy as anything. Heavenly pleasures become to him no more than stories. Actually, there's no comparison between material happiness and transcendental happiness. By the grace of Kardama Muni, Devahuti experienced actual realization simply by serving. We get a similar example in the life of Narada Muni. In his previous life, Narada was a maidservant's son, but his mother was engaged in the service of great devotees. He got the opportunity to serve the devotees, and simply by eating the remnants of their foodstuff and carrying out their orders, he became so elevated that in his next life he became the great personality, Narada. For spiritual achievement, the easiest path is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and to serve him with heart and soul. That is the secret of success. As stated by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his 8 stanzas of prayers to the spiritual master, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasadam. By serving or receiving the grace of the spiritual master, one receives the grace of the Supreme Lord. By serving her devotee husband, Kardama Muni, Devahuti shared in his achievements. Similarly, a sincere disciple, simply by serving a bona fide spiritual master, can achieve all the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master simultaneously. Hare Krishna, isn't that amazing? Ye maiswa dharma niratasya tapasamadhi vidyatma yoga vichita bhagavan prasada tan eva te madanu seva naya parudhan drishtim prapashya vitaram yamayan ashoka. Kardama Muni continued, I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not yet experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. Now just look at them. I'm giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nirvishesha Shrivyavani Vastityade Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Abhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Vanchikalpata Rubhyas Jagripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitamu Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so now we're going into some other aspects, different perspectives, a little different, on this whole idea of the importance, the value, the results of the wife being very dedicated to the qualified husband. And of course, it extends. It's not simply wives get benefits from serving their qualified husbands nicely, but disciples get benefit from serving the qualified spiritual master nicely, and there are others too. Well, yeah, just by serving seniors, just by getting the remnants of prasad, just by getting some of the dust from the feet, just by getting some of the water that has washed the feet, and there are other considerations also. One gets benefit, the receiver, the recipient, gets benefit. In Krishna consciousness particularly, is very amazing. All sorts of exchanges and interactions going on in unseen but highly beneficial way, highly beneficial and very real ways. Sri Sri Radha Radha Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sri Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Move this. Okay. Yeah, so Krishna consciousness, we are of course personalists. Sometimes people, if you're in a certain situation where an apparent offense may possibly have been committed, then someone may say, don't take it personally. But in Krishna consciousness, everything should be taken very personally, you know, not just in that sense. Not offenses, but it's very personal. Krishna consciousness is very, very personal. And it's extremely deep and very broad, the scope of being personal and the results of being personal and rendering service like that. Yes, so here of course the whole theme has been now for quite some time about the wife in relation to the husband. Qualified husband. And, well, anyway, ladies, there you are. It appears you're sitting in advantageous positions, at least those of you who are married. And husbands, you better be. you got to take it seriously. You got to take it seriously. Yes. And you've got to be qualified so that your wife can get some benefit from serving you. And of course, so you will get benefit from serving Krishna, serving the spiritual master, and like that. But it's very wonderful. There's all sorts of interactions of that sort. So, she was already sharing the benefits. She was serving Kardama Muni. We read a couple of few days ago. For many years, they've already now been married, been together for many years, and she has just been fully and wholeheartedly dedicated to serving and assisting her very qualified husband during that period of time, to the point of practically complete neglect of her own situation, particularly physically and so on that level. So, by serving her husband, qualified husband, she got, the verse says, Bhagavat Prasada. Kardama Muni says, of course, we're very familiar with that term, aren't we? Bhagavat Prasada. Prabhupada refers to it, you know, the context in which we are more familiar with it in the purport. Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada. Yasya Aprasada, Nagati, Gatopi. This is, of course, and Radha mentions this, the eighth verse of the Gaurvastika, which we sing every morning in Mangal Arati, if we are in Mangal Arati. I'll leave that one with you to think about. But Prabhupada definitely liked it. Not just liked it, he basically kind of insisted, I would say, that all, at least all the devotees living in the temple, they attend the Mangal Arati. Because Mangal, you know what Mangal means? You know what Mangal means? What does it mean? Okay, anyway. It means auspicious. Mangal. It's auspicious. It's very auspicious to start your day by attending that early morning arati. Your day gets off on, to a good start. You get off on the right foot. That sort of idea is there. Anyway, we see, as we just mentioned, Yasya Prasada, that person by whose mercy, Bhagavat Prasada, we get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, in that context, the song is about the spiritual master, and particularly Srila Prabhupada. But here, Devamati is also getting specifically the same thing, Bhagavat Prasada, by serving her husband. She's getting different graces. Prabhupada uses the term graces of the Lord. Mercies, benedictions, mercies, graces, mercies, that sort of kind of together, mercy and grace. Benediction is also extremely nice, but it's slightly something different. So she got these graces, mercies, things came her way, and more is about to come her way, because she's serving her husband. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point in the beginning of the purport, in the early part of the purport, that this Bhagavat Prasada, when you get some mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whatever is the relevant source, the spiritual master, in this case the qualified husband, and others too, then when you get that Bhagavat Prasada, that special grace and mercy, then you don't lose it. It is never to be lost. And Prabhupada puts it in an interesting way. It is simply to be enjoyed. Well, normally that word, enjoy, we don't use so much. But in this context, obviously Prabhupada felt it was appropriate. And again, obviously, it's not enjoy like the materialists enjoy. Just go for it and, gratify your senses. But great happiness will be there as you, if you've got Bhagavat Prasad, if you've got the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, then you will continue to be happy in devotional service. You've got the mercy, you carry on, now you'll continue to be happy. And you'll relish how nice it is. You'll relish how nice it is. And it'll just go on and on. There's no end to it. is no limit, as long as you keep on rendering devotional service. But even if you don't, if you are familiar with Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 40, Neha Vikrama Nasho Sri Prachavaya, Navijite Svapa Vapyasya Dharanasya, Trayate Mahato Vayat, that on this path there's no loss or diminution, and just a little advancement can save you from the greatest part of the greatest type of fear. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains in different ways how, through rendering devotional service, even if your service becomes interrupted by going off track somehow, but whatever benefit you had received to that point, it remains. And later, could even be next lifetime, but whenever it is, that by Krishna's grace you come to Krishna consciousness again, you'll start off from the point where you left off. Yes. And Prabhupada is effectively making this point here. It's never to be lost. It's never to be lost. And Prabhupada gives the example of a materialist. A materialist, Prabhupada gives the example, somehow the person makes a lot of money, and now he has $1 million. Of course, it's a lot, but it's not as much as it was when Prabhupada wrote this purport. But you know, a person makes a lot of money, but then they cannot rest. They cannot really relax that, just see, I've got so much money. My position is good. My position is secure. And in this way I feel safe and satisfied and sheltered by my bank statement. Let the thieves or whoever they are come, the tax man, let the people who want to take, you know, abuse me, let them come. I will pull out my bank statement and tell them, get back. But as is stated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, that all these things, they're like fallible soldiers. It's like that they're like, you know, the more of material things you accumulate, it's like gathering together a bigger and bigger army. But they're all fallible soldiers. They don't have that power to protect you, really. It looks, you think they do, it looks like they must do. But as soon as some serious enemy comes and attacks, then all your soldiers surrounding you, your fallible soldiers, they go down just like that. And there you are, exposed to the pains of material existence. Yeah, so Prabhupada contrasts the Bhagavad Prasad and the, what would you say, Maya Prasad, perhaps, the illusory mercy and grace of the material world. And of course, Prabhupada goes on to say, the greatest manifestation, the final form, the highest form of that Bhagavad Prasad is Krishna Prema, love for Krishna, love for Krishna. This is the highest perfection of Bhagavad Prasad, or divine mercy, divine grace. And Prabhupada makes the point that it's so valuable that no material happiness can compare to it. Billions and zillions of dollars. Of course, there are the dangers that we mentioned. But it may seem that your position is just fantastic. You may not be able to conceive clearly how wonderful your position is materially. So, but still it doesn't compare to that special grace. As Srila Prabhupada would refer to Chanakya Pandit sometimes, and we also did just not long ago at all in this regard, Chanakya Pandit said that time is so valuable, incalculably valuable, that if you lose 1 second, you cannot buy it back. If you have all the money, not just a billion or two or ten or whatever, but if you have all the money, you cannot buy back 1 second. Time is so incredibly valuable. So therefore, one of the great characteristics of the devotees, advanced devotees, is stated, you can read in the 18th chapter of Nectar of Devotion, the characteristics of the advanced devotees are listed out, or some of them, 9 of them. And one of them is, never wastes any time in devotional service. Never wastes any time. And that's time, which is part of the material world. Krishna prema, love for Krishna, it's not part of the material world. It's something completely transcendental. So if we can't calculate and appreciate the value of time, even just a tiny little bit of time, like a second, then how are we going to appreciate love for Krishna properly, completely, adequately? Yeah, it's just really amazing. So then Prabhupada goes on to give some other examples, or some other examples of the principle, Devahuti, by the grace of Kardama, she is going to get realization, or she has got, or is going to get, simply by serving Kardama Muni. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Narada Muni. That's there in the first canto. It's such a nice pastime story, how Narada Muni, he was just a little child, 5 years old or so, living with his mother. He didn't have a father, didn't even know who his father is. And some great devotees, some Bhakti Vedantas, they're called. Bhakti Vedantas came to stay at their place during the rainy season. In India in those days, this was the practice of the saintly people, would wander around preaching and visiting holy places and so on. During the rest of the year, but when the rainy season would come for 4 months, basically like clockwork, and it would just, you'd get a year's worth of rain in 4 months. So there's saintly people who had no vehicles, that they couldn't just walk because it's raining so much. Normally they were just walking around. So they'd find a nice place to stay for those 4 months, and do something, reading and chanting, and focus on their own spiritual lives for a while. That's called Chaturmasya. This lockdown for us is a sort of situation, something like that. Depends, but yeah, could be seen like that. But that's what they do. So these great Bhakti Vedantas, very great devotees, came and stayed, a group of them, came and stayed in the humble dwelling of Narada Muni's mother. His name was not Narada at the time. We don't even know what his name was, at least I'm not aware. Bhagavatam doesn't mention. But he, as a simple little boy, he served them very nicely. If you read through the description there in the first canto, he would serve them prasadam, he would wash their clothes, he would sit and listen when they were discussing. He would even sit for hours and listen, even though he's just a small boy, around 5 years old. And this is what he was doing. And then, one particular incident which Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, at least one time, maybe more times, but at least one time he asked them, after they'd taken prasada and there was some left on their plates, he asked, "May I please take some of your remnants?" And they agreed, and he did. And as a result of that, and just in general, his serving them and listening to them, etc., as a result of all of that, he became the great devotee Narada Muni. And even while he was still just a little boy, just shortly after, his mother was bitten by a snake and passed away. And even though he's just a little child, still, he spontaneously got the inspiration, "I must just go on pilgrimage and worship the Lord and find the Lord." And so he did that. So there's the example of Narada Muni. By that grace, by that mercy of those Bhaktivedantas. And Prabhupada makes the point that for spiritual achievement, because we're talking about spiritual achievement particularly, for spiritual achievement, the easiest path is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and to serve him with heart and soul. So this is, Kardama Muni was, you could say, the spiritual master of Devamuti as the husband in the traditional sense, in Vedic culture. Oftentimes ladies would not be initiated, although the husbands would, but they'd be considered initiated through their husband, and the husband would act like a via medium between them and his spiritual master, or the spiritual master. So we have Kardama Devamuti. We have Narada Muni and the Bhaktivedantas. And in general, just in a general broad sense, as Prabhupada says, if we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and serve him with heart and soul, Prabhupada's specific about that, and we should understand clearly, then, Prabhupada says, it's the easiest path for spiritual achievement, which means ultimately achieving love for Krishna. In the meantime, of course, gradually becoming free from anatta's sinful tendencies like that, and becoming more and more absorbed in devotional service and in knowledge in Krishna consciousness like that. As I was reading through this earlier this morning, I thought also of an example of the opposite. You know, of course, I think we're all familiar with the idea that if we commit offenses, particularly Vaishnava aparad, then we will lose the mercy, whatever mercy we have maybe got to that point, or somehow be reduced or lost. But I was thinking of a particular example. It's a very interesting example. And it illustrates this point of the person who is not doing the thing in question or the particular thing. They just happen to be around and have some sort of connection with the person who is doing the beneficial thing, but then they get result from the person's doing the actual thing, like Devahuti. She is sharing in the results of Kaudama's activities. She's not exactly doing those activities, she's just helping him do, and therefore she is sharing results. But an opposite example I was thinking, it's a very interesting and important example in Chaitanya Charitamrita of a person named Ramachandra Khan. You might, if you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you would probably have heard the name and be familiar with this person. He's the person who tried, who became really envious of Haridas Thakur and tried to sort of drag him down, subvert him by sending a prostitute to tempt him. And he was assuming, Ramachandra Khan, that this Haridas Thakur is a young man. He has desires, the same desires as any young man. So if we send a beautiful prostitute, then, you know, like any young man, or so many young men, how will he be able to resist? And then we'll catch him with her, and in this way, he will become a public, you know, laughing stock, and he'll just be rejected by the public, because the public, the Hindu public at least, they took Haridas Thakur to be great devotee. And Ramachandra Khan didn't like that at all. But anyway, the point I'm coming to comes a bit later. But anyway, as we know, Haridas Thakur was not just like any typical young man who could just easily become attracted by a beautiful young woman. He was a totally transcendental personality, and so he was not attracted by her attempts to attract him, but rather he made her into a devotee, into a great devotee. And then shortly after, when he left that particular place to go somewhere else around the greater Navadvip area, she took over his little place. And she would sit and chant all day where he had been doing it. Anyway, so that's what happened. So it was a real offense of Ramachandra Khan. And Chaitanya Charitamrita goes on to describe how sometime afterwards Lord Nityananda came with a whole party of devotees. There's a whole group of them traveling around Bengal, and Ramachandra Khan was the rich man in that particular village. He was like the head man, very powerful and influential and very wealthy, and he had a big house with all sorts of facilities. So Lord Nityananda sent one of his devotees to approach Ramachandra Khan, that here we are, we have this big group of devotees, and you've got the big facility, could you please accommodate us? And Ramachandra Khan, so the servant went, and Ramachandra Khan said, that, my house is not big enough for your group. And he said, my suggestion is that you go to the local milkman, because he has a big barn in which he keeps the cows. And there's nice hay, etc. And Nityananda and everyone can just take rest there, rather than accommodate them nicely in his nice house. So, yeah, and Ramachandrakan said, my house is not fit for Nityananda and his devotees. So when Lord Nityananda heard that, Lord Nityananda said, he's right. His house is not fit for us. It is only fit for cow-killing meat-eaters. Hare Krishna. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita goes on to describe how shortly after, maybe just some days after, some Muslim, if I may say, people, a group of Muslim heavies, the local tax collector, he's like a super heavy in the area, came and they took over his house and just kicked him out, booted him out onto the street. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, for 3 days, each day for 3 days, they killed a cow and cooked and ate in the temple room. He had a little temple room in his sort of compound, his establishment, Ramachandrakan. It was a Durga temple. And so they did that for 3 days in the temple room. So, but now here we come to the point. The whole story is very instructive in many ways. But the particular point is that just after, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that the whole village became bankrupted. And there was like a plague in the village. And the whole village ended up just, everyone was dying, or else they abandoned the village just with their lives. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, just see how the whole village suffered for the activities of one man. Not that they were themselves directly through some personal participation in the offenses that they became implicated, but just because of the offenses of Ramachandrakan, and they were, you know, sharing the same village, they became implicated like that. So in other words, it works in different ways. It works positively, as being emphasized here and generally emphasized, but it also works negatively if offense takes place. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada even, oops. We're almost there, actually. But just another couple of minutes, maybe. Instagram, 1 hour. And that's it. Now he has to come online, and I have to allow him. Let's hope he does it promptly. So, there he is. Okay. Alright, so where were we? Whoops. We were in the village, or what used to be the village. Okay. So, yeah. Then, so it operates in different ways, in different situations. Connection with people, serving people of different qualities, having different results. It works in different ways, and a very interesting way, which, anyway, we'll mention, because Prabhupada discusses it in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, is that Srila Prabhupada, in that part of that story where Dhruva Maharaj is going back to Godhead, the transcendental airships have come from Vaikuntha, and he's got on one of them, they're ready to go. But then he sees his wife, his mother is approaching another ship. And he tells the devotees from Vaikuntha, just wait, let her get on. And she gets on. The reason being, not simply because she was his mother and there's a type of bond between mother and son, but Prabhupada focuses on the fact that she had acted as a type of spiritual master for him long time before, when he was a child. She had helped him become what he became by instructing him, advising him, go to the forest. You want to find God? Go to the forest. When people want to find God, I've heard they generally go to the forest. So you go there, and you should be able to find God. Because that's what Dhruva wanted, to get some special blessing, material blessing from him. So therefore, because she contributed not just as a mother, but in Krishna consciousness, therefore, Dhruva Maharaj, he went out of his way and made the whole party go out of their way to assist her so she could go back to Godhead. But then Srila Prabhupada, the particular point is that Srila Prabhupada in one of those purports talks about himself, that he says, you know, to the effect that I'm elderly and, you know, due to my physical condition, I can't do so many things, and I'm sort of partially disabled in a sense. And Prabhupada says, so I am hoping, praying, that one of my disciples will become like Dhruva Maharaj and will deliver me back to Godhead. And we can always say, Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada, because, you know, Hare Bhagavan, that's just, what can you say? But at least he said it. He definitely said it. And there's a point to be taken, even though, you know, none of us could deliver Prabhupada. Anyway, we can't even talk about it. But at least there is a good point which we can learn from, and it really is important in terms of our relationships with our spiritual masters and our relationships with Prabhupada, is that, as we know, that the spiritual master suffers, or may suffer, it depends, but definitely may suffer if the disciple of any disciple does, like, particularly breaks principles, particularly like that. But even, you know, just offenses, general sorts of things. There's such a connection between spiritual master and disciple. The spiritual master becomes implicated in the activities of the disciple. But on the other hand, if the disciple really, like Dhruva Maharaj, becomes such an excellent disciple, or you could say Devahuti, such an excellent wife, heart and soul, serving her advanced devotee husband without concern for herself at all. The spiritual master is benefited. The spiritual master is benefited if there are good disciples. So we all have spiritual masters, so we should really bear this in mind. On one hand, we should not do nonsense because it may have some negative effect on the health or whatever of our spiritual master. But if we do very nicely, it will be good for him. I mean, there are other examples we could go on, but this is, I think, some food for thought. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any Maharaj, words of wisdom.
From this one we can take it as the blessings of the Lord we can take in this context as a pure devotional service.
The blessings, yes. The blessings of the Lord in this context can be taken as pure devotional service.
Well, that can make one fearless.
That's the only thing that will make one fearless. Yeah. You know, the Lord may bless, like Krishna blessed Srila Prabhupada with pure devotional service, but he blessed him also with success. He became very successful. Of course, he was fully Krishna conscious and he used it in Krishna consciousness, but he got lots of money. Even Prabhupada sometimes would sort of boast to visitors, like businessmen who would come to visit him, particularly in Bombay, that, you know, every day we are selling so many books and our income is so many rupees. He's just saying it to him as a preaching strategy. But ultimately, yes, the real blessing is to achieve love for Krishna. Definitely. Jai Satchinandan Prabhu.
So we quite
many
talking about fearlessness. The web is free.
Yeah, there's the word stree in Sanskrit, which means woman, or it means one who expands household life.
Generally,
household life is a challenge for the husband to provide, etc. Yeah.
But you see, in the case of the woman, she was worried about the wife,
but Devahuti was not in anxiety about getting anything.
By dint of Kardana
Muni's austerity and Krishna consciousness, everything was there. Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
You mentioned about Narada Muni before and the child in
Narada Muni is a child. He begged permission to take the remnants of the Bhaktivedanta. There's a verse. Nice verse in Chaitanya. Bhaktapada Dhulihara. Okay, that's Kali Das. Okay, tell us what they are. Three most important things from a devotee, to get the dust of the lotus feet, the water that has washed the feet, and the prasadam remnants of spiritual master, the advanced devotees. And yeah, that's right. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I insist again and again, you must get these things. You not just must get it. You must have faith in these things, he says. I insist again and again, you must have faith in the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, the water that's washed their lotus feet, their prasada remnants. Yes. And he says, the proof, the evidence is Kalidas himself, how he was given mercy by Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, a greater mercy than anyone else. That's quite a statement, if you really want to get into it. Thank you. Jai Satchidananda Prabhu, full of nectar. And now Raghunath Bhatta Prabhu. Do you want to say something? So, Raghunath Bhatta Prabhu, another wonderful devotee, says that in the fourth canto, Prabhupada says that if someone goes to Brahman, becomes Brahman realized, then 99.9%, just after some time, they fall back into material life again. So what happens to the 0.1, according to that, who don't fall back, what happens to them? Well, you know, to be quite honest, I couldn't tell you, like, authoritatively, specifically, but I could say what I have heard, because someone raised this question to me a couple of months ago, actually, on the internet a few months ago, and I couldn't answer, so it just sort of stuck there. But he said that he has heard, and actually I have heard from, I forget where, so I'm not really sure, but it's an interesting idea, that Narada Muni travels between the spiritual world and material world regularly, up and down, regularly. That's his program. And sometimes someone may, and when he passes through, he's always playing his veena and Radhika Ramana Namane, glorifying Radha and Krishna. And some soul there may see him or hear him, have some contact like that, and then go back to the spiritual world. But don't quote me. Maybe I shouldn't have even said it. Well, they were not in the Brahma Jyoti. They were Brahman realized on planet Earth. Yeah. Here we're talking about people who are there. They're in the Brahma Jyoti, sort of hovering around just as spirit souls with no body.